Good morning. A blessed Lord's Day to all of you this morning. Thank you for joining us as we gather here to hear God's word and to receive his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation this day. As we gather this morning, just a couple of announcements, maybe one in particular. We are in the season of Lent, as noticed by the change of colors, and then also last Wednesday being Ash Wednesday. We will be having Wednesday evening services, and just so it's clear that we will be doing a rotation this year with the various pastors of our circuit. And so this coming Wednesday, Pastor Probands from St. Paul and Shelton will be here for you Wednesday evening. I will be in Lexington at Trinity there. I won't actually be back here for a Wednesday service until the very last service of the Lenten season. So we'll try to put who's coming, not that that should matter to you, but just so you know, as we go through the season, our season theme is for us based on the hymn that will be the hymn of the day each of the Wednesdays. Because it is the season of Lent, there are a couple of things to make note of with regard to our service. That is, namely, all of the spoken or all of the verses or the responses, that's the word I'm looking for, all of the responses are going to be spoken as opposed to sung like we normally do. And then the things like the introit, the gradual, and the tract will all also be spoken, so just so you're aware of that. Before we sing our opening hymn, let us greet each other in peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, have gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy and show him. Grant, O Lord, we beseech you, with pure minds we may enter the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, just as the adversary continually afflicts us, and as a roaring lion walks about seeking to devour us, for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that we may always abide in your grace and be preserved to eternal life. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In your hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Our second reading is written in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our own ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. He who dwells in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him and show him my salvation. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is necessary for our Lenten discipline to learn to see our sin rightly. Now, sin is not just mindlessly doing what we are not supposed to do, or not doing what we are supposed to do. Though that does make up sin. The totality of sin is a matter of the mind and of the will and of the heart. And our sins reveal where we have put our faith, our trust, and our confidence, who and what we look to for every good and for what we need. So sin doesn't just cause our unbelief and idolatry, but it also reveals it. And so we must see where the danger of sin is and where it leads us to. And in order to do that, we need the Word of God. Jesus in our gospel demonstrates that for us. The Word of God is given to us and implanted in our hearts and our minds, and it is our best defense against the tyranny of sin and against the temptation to sin. The Word of God enables us to resist and fight. We need this because on our own we could not and cannot do it. On our own, we are dead. Which is why sin is truly anything which seeks independence from God. And so temptations to sin are not always what they seem. A temptation to turn stones into much-needed bread seems like a pretty harmless temptation in the grand scheme of things. But a temptation to bread is not just about bread, but it is about trusting in our Father to provide all that we need. Do we trust that our Father is good and will take care of us in all of our needs as He has promised? Or do we take matters into our own hands? Do we decide what we need in order to, and do we sin in getting or going after what we think that we need? Maybe we do this in order to get ahead, in order to get what we think we have coming. A temptation to throw oneself off the pinnacle of the temple seems a bit more outlandish than bread. But here, too, the temptation is not what it seems. For while Satan couches the temptation in terms of testing Jesus' faith, Jesus sees that it is really a matter of testing God. That God prove Himself faithful and reliable. This is the very opposite of faith, which does not take God at His word and believe what He has said, but it demands evidence. It demands evidence from God of His love and His truthfulness. And this is a powerful seduction, to believe what is seen instead of what is unseen. It is to believe that if God loves me, then He will do or give me what I think I need. And where is faith in any of that? And then there's the third temptation of Jesus, which perhaps seems silly at first. For how could Satan expect Jesus that he would fall down and worship Him, especially after the first two failed attempts? It seems rather obvious, but then again, temptation is not always what it seems. For with this temptation, Satan strikes at the heart of it all, of who holds first place in your hearts. And the question is not whether it is God or it is Satan, that's really too easy. But the question is, are you independent from God? What drives you? What you do, what drives what you say, what drives what you think, what drives what you desire and what you will. If the answer is not your Father in heaven, then you have done this very thing. It is really a question of idolatry. It sounds a bit harsh, but it's certainly true. And so we must always repent of our selfishness. You must realize that Satan doesn't tempt you to sin in order to give himself something to do. He does not try to cause you to stumble just because he likes to laugh at you. Satan does what he does because he is trying to destroy you. And he's trying to destroy you one sin at a time. That each and every sin eat away at your faith. That each and every sin cause you to doubt. That each and every sin put your faith and trust and your joy and your delight in anything and everything except God. Because Satan wants you to die, not only now, but eternally. Satan's scheme is truly a death by a thousand paper cuts. Satan is the wolf in sheep's clothing. He is disguised as the angel of light. He is that Trojan horse that seems harmless until he gets inside and unleashes his army against you. And so today we must see that this, the true nature of sin and its danger, to see that our own weakness and helplessness. We come to understand and see that there is a man who has come to fight for us. There is one who has stepped onto the battlefield in our human flesh and blood to do what we are unable to do. That is to fight Satan and win. A God-man who can see through all the evil temptations, the deadly deceptions, the fleshly seductions. We have a man who looks straight into the jaws of the serpent to feel his hot breath and his smelly stench of death and has put him down. And Jesus did this first in the wilderness, as we read this morning, and then on the cross. And in doing so, Jesus plunders Satan's kingdom and he rescues us from Satan's deadly grip. For on the cross, our Savior took our place in the jaws of sin and death, to be the sacrifice in our place, to enter death. And in his resurrection from the dead, he pried open the jaws that have snapped closed on us, and he has set us free. And so we see this in the power of the Word of God. The Word of God made flesh that fought for us in the wilderness is the Word of God now given to us, that is still fighting for us through the preaching of the Word and the administration of the Holy Sacraments. These are not two words, but one word. They're not two battles, but one battle. And just as in the wilderness, on the cross, and through the empty tomb, so too today, the Word of God is victorious. The battle there won in the victory is now applied and given to us here even today. It is given every time there's a baptism or a remembrance of baptism. It is given every time sins are forgiven. It is given every time you eat the body and drink the blood of your Savior. Each and every one of those gifts are given the mighty hand of God, where he's prying open the jaws of Satan. He is casting him down, and he is giving you life. And not only that, but now also, he gives you his Holy Spirit, that you would see aright, that you see the lies, that you see the deception, that you see the seduction of sin that Satan makes look and sound so good and right. The work of Christ is given to you to strengthen you, to guide you, and enable you to resist the tempter, to work in you what you cannot do on your own. For you are no longer on your own. For you are baptized. You are fed. You are forgiven. You are sons and daughters of God. You are not in the wilderness of this world alone. You have Christ. So live in him and his word, that Christ live in you. Dependence on God is not weakness. It is our only strength. So that when the temptation of sin comes, we defend it with the strength of the word of God. That when we are faced with difficulty, we cling to Christ, for he is our sure defender. He is your sure defender. And in Christ, you need not fear, because your victory is assured. Thanks be to God, for in Christ, he has forgiven you. He has redeemed you. He has snatched you out of the jaws of death, and he has brought you to eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew my spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this, our offering, that here in this place, we may continue to be comforted and strengthened by the word made flesh, that we may stand firm in all temptation, and finally at last receive the crown of everlasting life. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We continue with the prayers of the church. We pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Let us pray. Merciful Father, cleanse and renew our hearts from the stain of sin. Bring us to genuine repentance. Pardon all our sins and renew our faith, that we may have a clear conscience. Grant us the aid of your Holy Spirit to manifest the holiness of life which befits our calling through holy baptism. By faith, let us show forth the good works of Christ, who calls us from darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, defend your and save your church from the enemies of your word. Give us faithful pastors and teachers who will gather your sheep in with your voice. Feed them with your blessed sacrament and lead us into everlasting life. Teach us the love of your name and the desire for what is good and right, that we would renounce all false belief and love you with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, protect us from our adversary who prowls around looking to devour us. Guard those in authority over us, especially our President and Congress, that our laws would be just and justly applied for the punishment of the evildoer and for the pursuit of virtue. Be with those whose task it is to defend from the evils of this world. We remember those who serve us in the armed forces, especially Todd, Angela, Jacob, Madison, and Kyle. So also bring help to those who serve as police and emergency workers in our community, that they too be kept safe and that no harm and danger would befall them. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, give to those whom you have blessed with the gift of child your hand of help and comfort. We remember Justine, Journey, Alyssa, and Kirsten. Turn their trust and hope to you, that in the giving of life, your name may be glorified. According to your good and gracious will, preserve and protect both mother and child, so that joy may abound in you. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, teach us to number our days in this present life, and grant to those who celebrate birthdays this week joy in your loving kindness. We remember especially Matt. Assist him by your Holy Spirit to abide in the confessions of your care and protection, and in all things glorify your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, comfort those who are in distress. Grant healing to the sick. Give peace to the troubled, especially those for whom our prayers have been requested, including our homebound and shut-ins, Eldine, Janine, Audrey, Bev, Benny, Lenora, Finil, Margaret, and Lois. So also for Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Karen, Lana, Mark, and Dan. These and all whom we name in our hearts this day. We pray that you would bring them through trouble and trial by your grace, that they, along with the rest of your church, may sing anew your wondrous love and mercy. Strengthen them by your Holy Spirit according to your will, both in life and death, in the midst of good and evil things, that your will may be done. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, remember in mercy all who come this day to receive the Savior's body and blood in the sacrament of this altar. May all our hearts be turned in repentance, strengthened in faith, and emboldened in love to show such forgiveness, grace, and mercy in service to our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy, bless us, Heavenly Father, in this season of repentance. As we continue to walk through this Lenten tide, let us hold fast to your word. Teach us to die to self and serve you faithfully through this mortal life until at last you bring us with the blessed saints into your presence evermore. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God, Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Given the gifts of Christ to these your people, let your servant depart in peace according to your will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For our sin and free us from our past.